This episode of The View from the Rock is brought to you by Sign Dog Northwest. They're your source for custom signs, banners, boat names, fleet graphics, and more. Custom design services available. This episode is also brought to you by Merle Inc., the premier custom home builder in the Clealum area and a proud featured home builder in Suncadia Resort in Tumble Creek. Finally, this episode is brought to you by Rob Thomas Drywall, the number one drywall company in Ellensburg and Kittitas County. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. I'm your host, Ruck, here in the Yellow Dog Studios with Papa Swappa and Morgie. You know, we went on a little bit of a summer hiatus, a little summer break. And is this still in the same season we're in? Is this a new season? I'm not worried about it, but how are we doing, Swappa?
Doing good. I think this is still season four. I think this is season four, episode three.
Okay.
And it's been a challenge to get the three of us all in the same place at the same time because our summers, as you know, as our listeners know, are busy because we're not busy. So we've been traveling the greater Pacific Northwest and the western half of the United States. Now we're back in town.
That's right. We've been together for 2 days in a row.
2 days in a row, haven't we? Big fantasy football draft last night. We'll probably talk about that at some point.
Man, it's been a great summer.
Yeah, we got like a jam-packed episode. We have so much that we're doing a double. So I don't know when we'll release the second one. Sometime after you hear this episode. I think this episode, we're going to do a little first half of summer recap. And then we're going to finish with the episode we've been wanting to make for a while after recent events, and that was a bit of a Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne tribute. So this first episode, we're going to go over some of our favorites from Black Sabbath, talk about it for a while, and then eventually unveil our top three, or do we say top four?
Top four for these two episodes only.
Yeah, top four Black Sabbath songs. And then next episode, we'll get into top four Ozzy Osbourne songs. So that'll be, you know, specific to just this episode that we're going to go that deep. So that means there's no food in this episode. This is like, hey, we're going to listen to music. We'll probably take a little break with the beer of the week. I believe from a local establishment, is it the...
I think episode one, we're looking at the
episode one is the Seattle beer.
Yeah.
And that is a Mosaic Pale Ale.
Ooh.
From Sea Pine Brewing.
Yep.
And I look at our notes and we've got.
There it is.
A lot of notes.
I can't wait to hear that.
It's going to be great.
So, summer. Summer kind of felt like officially kicked off for me with the Morgie Cabin. First time there.
First time for you, and yeah. Not the last.
No, hopefully not.
So real quick, a few listeners, you've been there. Swap's been there.
Twice now.
Josh has been there before. Ruck, did it blow your mind?
Blew my mind.
Or did you think it was going to be, what'd you think?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm a... like an Eastern Washington guy. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's like desert scrub, you know, which I don't visualize as being picturesque and beautiful, but it was all of that. The river just feels like you're on a lake. It's placid and pristine. The fishing, which I don't like to fish, was enjoyable. Not that I actually fished. I watched people fish.
Yeah, and it was the first part of that 3 weeks was one of the best fishing we've had in 20 years.
The fish were almost jumping into the boat.
Yeah. Rod and John Richards and
Josh.
They had a great time.
Yeah. No, it was great. And I think part of the
new records too for fish.
I think one of the unsung parts about that trip is the trip itself. And
Your drive over.
The drive over was amazing. We stopped, if memory serves me correct, we made a stop in Winthrop at Three Finger Jack's.
Yep, that was our first stop.
Then the OMAC Casino.
I would have forgotten that. Yes, we did.
And then we went to a 12 Tribes convenience store.
And had some red tacos.
Ruck came out with these bite-sized red tacos. It's the same turnoff as the casino.
Oh, yeah, when you head up north to Tenasket.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think our last stop, well, second to last stop was, we did two stops in Republic.
That is true.
Two. You went to a bar and you had some food.
Before that, we stopped at a brewery, a local brewery there, which was really good. And they had a little bit of a club, like a mug club going on the back wall that if I lived there, I would be a part of. It looked sweet.
And then
the beer was good.
We went from there. I think that might have been the Republic Brewery.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
And then we went across the street to, was it the Knotty Pine?
Yes. I was not going to pull that one out.
Where we didn't go there when we parked because the bartender walked out and was trying to flag down an ambulance.
Yes.
What? Did this never came up?
Well...
Did it?
We thought about going in, and she came out and like yelled down the street. Like, I don't know if she was flagging one down or if she thought she saw one. She was the nice bartender, though, which means she obviously didn't serve us. We went into the back room, and the lady, when we got back there, was basically like, oh, I got to serve you a-holes.
Yeah. And that
Why?
Was,
what did you do?
Well, she yelled that across the bar at us.
And included a bunch of... words that we don't say here on the podcast.
Start with F.
Yes. Yes.
And D.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh.
And then Ruck had a...
I was going to say...
He had a Hollandaise...
Yes. I saw the burger. Photo.
Yeah. You know, I forget. I see things and I go, well, I'm never going to see a Hollandaise burger on a menu ever again the rest of my life, quite possibly. So I need to document this. I need to get it. And I just don't remember that I have a beard. And it was, I was fighting for my life.
There was Hollandaise sauce
all over
Ruck's beard.
Probably for days.
Yeah.
Oh,
and we shot some pool.
Yep.
That's true.
I think I won.
You guys
had an amazing drive.
We did.
My drive was the worst drive in the history of the cabin.
Oh, tell us why, Morgie.
So Andy and I leave town at 6 a.m. I'm towing Morgie Vice and... We probably should have prepped a little better because the day before it, Andy got it to start, and it wasn't going to start, so I wasn't going to bring it. So we ended up bringing it. Well, I should have got new tires. So just outside of Everett on I-5, boom, right tire, blown. We're on the road in 19 minutes, ready to go. 405 is closed because of construction. So we go down I-90, Seattle, go over I-90 bridge. 10 miles out of Cleelum, I'm in Easton, just out of Easton. Boom, there goes the left one. We have no other spares.
Well, and there's some spots on I-90 right before that where you'd have no room to pull off.
And luckily it was right after an on-ramp. So I pulled off, so there's lots of room.
Uh-huh.
And there's not a lot of traffic coming out of Easton onto I-90.
Yeah.
So AAA, thank you, AAA, and the RV package. If you do not have RV package, they will do nothing for you if you're towing.
Oh, geez.
They say, sorry, you can buy the RV package, but it starts in 3 days from now. Because it happened, we've had blown tires on our trailers, Andy and I. So I sit there, and I send Andy off, and I spent 2 hours in Easton waiting for AAA that never came, and then I contacted Cleelum Towing, by the way, is amazing.
Shout out to Cleelum Towing.
Yes.
Cleelum Towing. Maybe that Cleelum Towing needs to be a sponsor.
Well, I'm going to talk to him and... maybe take off Merle. So I call Cleelum Towing, and they're like, yeah, you don't need to be there because AAA says you have to be there. Yeah. He goes, no,
corporate.
I go. I give him the address, and Morgie Vice gets dropped off at Merle's.
Nice.
And Merle's not home.
So he got dropped off at the person who you just said was going to lose sponsorship with
maybe
us. Got it.
Okay. Yeah. And so he's in Vegas. And then I drive.
Did he ever know that you dropped it off at his
house? He did.
Okay.
And then I get to the cabin, and Bobby's there, and Andy's there. And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And then you guys show up like an hour later.
Yeah, somehow, with even you blowing two tires, you made it there before us.
2 hours at East. You guys did a 10-hour trip.
Yeah.
That should take 7.
I regret nothing about the trip there. It was exactly what it needed to be.
And then we had a great 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, incredible. I slept in the mini-me.
Yep.
Pitch black.
Yep. Philly cheesesteaks.
Yep.
Fish tacos.
Yep. What else do we
eat? Breakfast sandwiches.
Some of the best steaks we've ever had.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Ruck, for cooking.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, that was a highlight of the summer.
Yeah, that's for sure. It was such a great trip.
I mean, Rod and Brad, you guys, Andy.
You know what you haven't talked about? You haven't talked once about Bruce.
Oh. Well, Bruce is our neighbor, and he is 78, and he gives 2 Fs about everything. Yeah. So he can say whatever he wants. And we have what's called a men's club, or it used to be called Scotch Hour, at 4 o'clock every day.
Not to be confused with Gentleman's Club, right?
Correct. Yep.
Right.
So it's in his shop. And if you are at the cabin, people just show up at 4. So all the neighbors. And it's 4 to 5:30. And you just BS. And so I took the boys down, and Ruck got a new name.
I see Bruce for the first time. He shows up in his cart looking like he's Mr.
With
Big
Car Haul.
Mr. Big Bags. He's like waiting for everyone to come talk to him. And I see him just talking to Andy, pointing straight at me. And Andy's like, come over here. And I get over there. And he goes,
Andy, get in front of me.
Yeah, get in front of me. It's Osama bin Laden.
Oh, my God.
It's a terrorist. He's going to shoot me. That was funny.
It was funny. He continued to badger me the whole 3 days, to the point where I think he felt bad at some point and was like, you know, I'm just kidding, right? But then he also said, hey, why do you grow the beard out? I think you'd look great without it. I was like,
what? That's a compliment.
So Bruce is a fake bully. He bullies my dad to a point where my dad gets mad. I go, Dad, just tell him to suck it.
He's a softie.
He is. Bruce is a softie. Yeah. So he spends his winters in Arizona, and he was a caretaker for his wife for 6 years. She had
Parkinson's?
Epileptic seizures. Yeah. So she was on seizure meds.
Boom.
For like 6-7 years, like heavy. Oh. So she had to be taken care of. So the only time that he had was 4 to 5:30 when she slept.
And that's how Scotch Hour
was created.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I had a great time. You know, you mentioned that Bruce goes to Arizona. So speaking of Arizona, you had some stuff going down in Flagstaff, didn't you?
That's a great segue, Rock.
Yeah, after the cabin came home, and Rowan and the cross-country crew, there's 4 of them.
Hell yeah.
Dylan, Maverick, Owen Kennedy, and Rowan. They did this last year, too. We got them a VRBO for a month, and they're high-altitude training. So Kelly and I went down to visit for 5 days. Sedona, Grand Canyon, and just hang out in Flagstaff.
Was that your first time in that area?
Second time.
Okay.
First time in Sedona.
So you'd been to the Grand Canyon before?
I have.
Okay.
What did you think of the Grand Canyon?
The first time was breathtaking. Amazing. And we came through the north side my first time because we did the whole southern Utah, Lake Powell.
Yeah.
That is currently on fire, the north side.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah, and like burnt down one of the most historic lodges, I guess, on the north rim.
Shoot.
So the south rim, I mean, it was, it's okay. Like Kelly was like, is this it? I go, yeah, you stare down at the canyon and take photos. She goes, well, where else do we go? I go, well, we can go to another rest area, drive out, walk out, and see other parts of the canyon. You can barely see the Colorado River.
Hey, I was going to ask you what river made that canyon, but you already answered it.
So couldn't see it because it was hazy?
No. You can see the smoke on the north end. Uh-huh. It's just because
so low.
It's so low. Like Lake Powell is dropping. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, so we spent a half hour in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And then drove back.
And
it's like, an hour and a half.
I was going to say it's like 2 hours in. Like there's that road in and out.
But it was not. No, not from Flagstaff. We bought a prepaid pass, drove right through because it was a weekday.
Yeah.
But my favorite part about Flagstaff, well, they have a couple of good breweries. Their beer is mid, like mid at best. And then Swap texted me and he goes, you know why? They don't have Washington hops.
That's 100% right. Their climate does not produce the kind of hops that we have here in this.
Yeah,
Yakima Moist Valley.
Like,
climate.
I mean, I'm like, this is the best IPA you have.
Yeah. I think generally speaking, when you get off the West Coast, you get into a lot of that issue where places that are further and further away from the ideal place to grow hops just not great beer.
There's a what's called Slide Rock State Park.
So oh, I've been to Slide Rock.
On the way to Sedona?
Yeah. Chipped my tooth there.
Really?
Yeah.
So we didn't stop, but the boys did, and they found a bunch of cool lakes and cliff jumping. I'd like Sedona. I think I would love going there when it's not 101.
Yeah.
When we left Phoenix, it was 118.
Oh, boy.
To leave, to come back.
I'm not built for that.
People live in that.
But they don't. You sit inside all day long. Like, the low was 98 at 4 a.m.
I mean,
you can't golf at 6 a.m. when it's 100.
These are part of the reasons why the river there is so low.
Yeah.
Because they're using mass amounts of electricity to cool all of their houses.
One more thing that we did that was fun. Lowell Observatory.
Okay.
Ooh. In Flagstaff.
Yeah.
So we're at 7,300 feet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There. And that's where they have these monster telescopes. Like, millions of dollars that look the size of this room.
Yeah.
So you pay, and they have, it's kind of like a tour, and you can go look at the planets and you do all that. And then you go outside and you go out to the observatory, no phones, but the moon was really bright. So that was probably the best thing that you could see, that you see. One was at the moon.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Uh huh.
But then, because it was so bright, all the other stars.
Hard to see.
Yeah. Like, it was better at the cabin.
Still cool, probably, to see a lot of detail on the moon.
Yeah.
I love stars and stuff.
And that was fun. That was fun. And then took the boys out for dinner.
Did you have, I think there's good Mexican food down there.
There is. One good Mexican place, but it was, you know, we spent one day in Sedona.
Uh-huh.
And then Grand Canyon. But it was, yeah, it, I mean.
A place that you would vacation to? Or
I think Sedona.
Yeah.
In the fall or spring?
So I went to Sedona in the fall, caught an ASU football game. That's a nice little combo there.
Yeah.
Doing a little hike up Sedona.
Because that's an hour and a half.
Yeah, out in Sedona, they have a lot of cool restaurants and breweries and stuff.
So supposedly Jerome, and then the other town is, they don't pronounce it Prescott, even though that's how it's spelled. They say Prescott.
Prescott, geez.
Are nice areas. So like Luciano's, do you know them?
Yeah.
They live there in the winter.
Prescott.
Mm.
Even though it is spelled Prescott.
Correct. And if you say Prescott, it's like saying Melbourne.
Oh, geez.
Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Correct.
Yes.
Or is it set like saying Puyallup?
Yeah. No, it was a good trip, you know, because Brianne, my niece, you know, goes to school at Northern Arizona. So we went there a little bit.
Saw the campus.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it's kind of like a Bellingham.
Now.
Ish. Without all the, they have supposedly seven breweries in Flagstaff.
It definitely has that Bellingham vibe.
But it's not, it's not. Yeah. It's just the altitude and the temperature.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 90, but it gets down to 60 or 58 at night in the summer.
But the reason for the kids to go there or just runners in general is that altitude. And
yeah,
it, you know, you could find altitude in a lot of places, but there's a ton of trails and areas to run because it's a, what is it, high desert. And so it's not like you're on mountaintops trying to do this stuff.
Yeah, it was like they had a set plan and we just made sure their house was full of food.
And then the cool thing, too, is you end up seeing world-class runners there
who are in the Olympics. Yeah, they saw two of them.
Because that's the place to go.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll be damned.
They had a great trip, so it was fun. And then came back and been here ever since. And next episode, we'll talk about fishing.
Can't wait. Why do we have peanut butter Twix?
Well,
Tell me about this.
So the last episode, and it's come up before, but I think the last episode we were talking about the peanut butter Twix, and it no longer exists. But when I was in middle school, I would have every day at lunch a peanut butter Twix. Like I said, it doesn't exist anymore, but I want you to picture a Twix with the little cookie wafer in the middle covered with chocolate, and in a traditional Twix, that upper part is filled with caramel. All right. In the peanut butter Twix, that was filled with peanut butter.
Yep.
And it was.
It's
sensational.
It's amazing in capital letters with 5 exclamation points.
Yeah.
Probably better than a Reese's peanut butter cup, if I'm being completely honest.
Yes.
It's bringing a lot more to the party.
I used to take a peanut butter Twix every time we went hunting in the high mountains. That's one of my, I get one candy bar a day and I'd bring like 3 out of the 5 days.
Dude, when you're hiking, that's the thing to do is candy. Our dear friend.
And 3 Musketeers.
In some cases, family member, Mr. Flynn, loves to take candy on his big hikes. Like that's his treat.
No, because it's energy. Like,
yeah.
Like that gives you, yeah.
So the peanut butter Twix is no longer in production, but we have connections with the Mars, not the planet, the Mars Candy Company, and the reach of our podcast really at this point knows no bounds.
Like that's like I think that's in Pennsylvania.
I'm not even sure where Mars
Hershey's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay,
is located.
They
might be.
Thank you to Ross.
Yes,
via
Buster. We have, you heard it here first, that Mars is planning on bringing back the peanut butter Twix.
Because of our podcast.
Yes.
That's big time.
Yeah.
So we need to see if we can get some of the first off the line.
Well, so first, Mars sent over a lot of peanut butter Snickers.
A crap load.
Yes.
Of peanut butter Snickers.
That, and then Buster sent them to Ross, and then I have some currently. So we are going to taste one in the next episode.
And the peanut butter Snickers is amazing, but I'm just going to go on the record here as saying that a Snickers is not the peanut butter conduit that a Twix is.
Yeah.
It's a little bit overwhelming.
It's already got peanuts in it.
Yes. And they don't take out the caramel. They leave that in and also add in peanut butter.
There's just a layer of peanut butter in there.
Now,
not that it's not good.
I will say, I did tell Ross that I didn't know. I'm not a Snicker lover.
Yeah. I mean, I you did say you don't like Snickers that much. You're right.
But
have you had a fast break?
I have.
It's a pretty good peanut butter conduit.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the peanut butter Snickers. I had a little, so he had some little minis.
Yeah. He sent the minis and the full size.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not like a peanut butter Snickers? The issue is, like you said, there's just so many other flavors.
Yeah.
You could almost not even know there's peanut butter in
it. The Twix is just perfect because it's such a thin, narrow candy vessel.
Do you think that there's a peanut butter Kit Kat? Because I feel like that potentially...
That's a zero for me.
I don't really like Kit Kats, but I feel
like... I love Kit Kat.
I like a Kit Kat.
Then how is a peanut butter Kit Kat a zero?
I don't want peanut butter in my Kit Kat.
What is wrong with you?
I want peanut butter in my Twix.
I need to think about this.
Jeez. And then I want a Butterfinger.
Okay, Butterfinger, sure. Love a Butterfinger.
But that's it.
What if they did a Butterfinger that was like a peanut butter Butterfinger? So you have the base as the cookie, which is the buttery butter. And then on top of that, like in the Twix, they have that strip of peanut butter.
I'm like Melba toast. I just like everything the way it is. I don't want to change my Butterfinger. I don't want to change Three Musketeers. Kit Kat. Just leave it as is.
Would you guys say that it is...
Mashed potatoes and gravy and steak.
Would you guys agree with me that we are on the verge on this podcast of changing American culture with the reintroduction of the peanut butter Twix?
I'm so excited.
I think we're influencers.
I think it's a non-0% chance.
We need to tag, tag Mars on our... by the way, where do you find us on our socials?
Thank you.
Clearly, you can find us on any podcast app that you use, and for our socials, for Instagram it is the View from the Rock podcast, and for our Gmail you can find us or send us emails at theviewfromtherock@gmail.com.
and you can text us too if you have our numbers.
Yeah, and obviously if it bounces back then we must have gotten it wrong. So
right,
I'm super excited about that with Mars and all of that.
Oh, I agree.
Very excited. We need to tag them when we...
Well, that's the thing.
We might have to actually start doing some video. You guys, it's going to be a lot more work.
Jeez. Hey, speaking of which, and this is not on our notes.
Shouldn't that be in the second episode? Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Okay, let's save that for the second episode. Yeah, we got some teaser.
Breaking news.
Teaser for you for episode breaking two.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
That's big time. Hey, so, oh, geez, everything changed on here. We need to talk about, we're almost to the point for Sabbath, but I was going to ask about the Zeppelin doc. For the last, like, month, you guys have been mentioning to me the Led Zeppelin documentary. Are you wanting to talk about it right now?
Well, I think Zeppelin should go in the second.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because,
I mean, we are 30 minutes in right
we
now.
We got Yachtly Crew we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Do we need to talk about
that
them
was
now?
Right. Yachtly Crew was July
31st?
No, July 12th.
It was the day after.
Right?
It was during, no, it was in August because it was after Arts and Crafts Fest.
August.
So August 3rd or 4th?
Oh, it was the day, yeah.
It was the Saturday of Arts and Crafts.
No, yeah. I came back from the cabin the day before,
yeah,
Yachtly Crew, and then the next day I went to Flagstaff.
That's Jeez. Right.
Yeah, that was not a fun
Jason, plane tell ride. Me, what is Yachtly Crew? What are we talking about here?
So one of the sponsors, Sign Dog, he said, hey, you guys want to go to this tribute? So basically it is seven guys that perform yacht rock or songs that we call yacht rock.
You know, after being there, so there's obviously the genre of yacht rock, and we've talked about that on this episode or on this podcast. They are called Yachtly Rock, like make it sounds like Motley Crue, but they have just kind of an 80s pop sound.
Yes.
And so it's not all songs I would describe as yacht rock, but there were definitely a lot of yacht rock songs.
So I knew it was going to be fun.
Yeah.
I didn't know
it was going to be real fun.
I didn't know how much fun it was going to be. They were amazing.
It was freaking fun.
I would travel to see Yachtly Crew.
And then also we all dressed up.
Well, so this is the highlight. We we come here to pick up Mr. Morgenthaler, and he has his new button up with like anchors on it.
Yes.
It's a nice looking Yachtly Crew button up.
So Kelly gives me five options of shirts. I pick that one.
So then we go from here.
We have hats.
To pick up Sign Dog because we're taking a party bus that's meeting at Sign Dog.
Yeah, we're wearing Captain. Thank you to my wife for driving.
Yes.
Shout out to Kelly.
Kelly.
Sign Dog has purchased the same shirt.
Heather did.
Okay. So now we have two people with the same brand new shirt. Okay. And it gets better. After a nice dinner and some gambling, we sit down at the concert and there's a random 55-year-old man sitting next to us that also has the same shirt.
And we found one more, didn't we?
Yeah. It was Monica's husband.
He had the same shirt too, didn't he?
Crazy. Amazon.
Yep.
It'll do it.
No, it was so much fun.
That was a great night.
It was so much fun that if you know me, listeners, you know that I'm pretty subdued. And at one point, they were playing Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty, and my tall boy beer can became a saxophone.
Yeah, you did air sax.
Yeah, I was air saxing.
You That's were air true. Saxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was they were great. Shout out to Yachtly Crew. Another highlight of the night was when we all walked into the casino. Somebody asked us if we were the band.
Wait,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
as
I missed
soon as
that.
We walked in, this guy goes, he was holding a guitar case, and we're getting a beer.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, are you guys part of the band? We should have said, yeah. Like back in the day, when we'd go to Vegas for like my reunion like with the basketball guys, I'm the shortest guy. We have 6'9 to 6'2. And then we tell everyone we're the German national team.
Well,
and they believed us.
I think if we would have said yes, it would have been like the Blues Brothers, Bob's Country Bunker. We would have been playing Rawhide.
Oh boy!
Gosh, that was so fun.
And yeah,
waking up early was not good.
I bet
to go to Phoenix.
Well, and I went the next day to the Seattle Storm game.
Yes.
Which was a noon game, so an early get up.
Shout out.
Shout out to Kevin Matthews.
Yes.
Yeah. Swinomish Casino. Thank you very much for your hospitality.
That was against the Fighting Caitlin Clarks minus Caitlin Clark.
Right?
Yeah.
And then her bruiser is out for the year.
Yeah.
What did she do to her knee? I don't follow the WNBA very much.
You just follow Sophie Cunningham, right? Yeah.
She can play.
What did she do to her knee? Do we know?
MCL.
Oh, geez. So
not ACL.
We have two things left I see on the list, but the first one, so Black Sabbath tribute. I feel like didn't we talk about that? Or we just talked about it so much that...
Well, we talked about our last episode was like...
It was right
July
after...
July 8th. I think it was literally 2 days after Ozzy played his final show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were going to talk about him and celebrate that show, and then he passed,
and we haven't recorded since then.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do we have anything we want to say about that tribute, or just what we just said right there?
I have not seen a ton of footage from that show.
Yeah,
but I do know that if I had to do it all over again, I might have had my 50th birthday go to that show.
It'd be epic.
Because Metallica was there, Tool,
Morello,
and then did they do the tribute for Mr. Crawley from Jack Black before the show?
I think so. I think that was not there, but it was pre-recorded, but that was amazing.
I mean, and Morello's kid, Roman.
Oh.
Yep.
And then also the bass player is a kid from maybe Anthrax?
That sounds right.
Like he's the son. Like they were badass.
They were really good.
Yeah. If you've not seen the Black Sabbath tribute,
freaking amazing.
Jack Black's good.
And in that video, he's wearing Ozzy's same outfit from when he performed Mr. Crowley. Correct?
Really? Yeah. And spoiler alert: it says Ozzy on his chest. Like, you're badass if you put your name on your chest and nobody questions it.
Yeah, love it. All right, we got one last thing before we dive into the music. I have not actually heard how this was. So, Jason, Creed concert. How was
it? Well, I was going to save that for the next episode. Oh, but
we can do that.
Yeah, let's save it because also it leads into Brennan and his wisdom teeth pulled.
Oh.
Because he posted a video as soon as he got home from the doctor.
Oh, geez.
And he's crying and singing Creed. And he's got Creed on his TV in his room.
Heck yeah.
And just trying to sing with gauze in his mouth. It's amazing.
I love that.
You know, it was, my expectations were kind of mid, but it exceeded. And we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Because I love me some Creed.
Okay. So educate me. Tell me about Black Sabbath. In my mind, you know, when I first started listening to Black Sabbath, I just kind of grouped it in with all the other like 80s music that I listened to, but it's not like an 80s band so much, right? Am I wrong when I say that?
No, you're
It's more not. Of a 70s band.
It's very 70s. It's very British.
1970 was the first album.
They were formed in 1968. So Tony Iommi, Bill Ward, Geezer Butler, and Ozzy. First album, Black Sabbath.
Yep.
1970.
And they were probably the godfathers of heavy metal.
Yeah.
That's what people say.
Well, and what I mentioned this when we were off the air before the show, when you listen to their early stuff, or all their stuff really, it sounds like four guys just kind of jamming.
And it's a little dark.
It's dark.
It's just heavy riffs. It's not, I just feel like when I was growing up, I heard two or three songs from them.
War Pigs, Iron Man, Paranoid.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, these are cool. These are awesome. I love them. And then when you dive into, because I wasn't old enough, like if I would have been born 10 years younger or earlier.
Yeah.
I would have got into it because some of my older buddies, Mark and guys from Pacific, like Black Sabbath was it would be like me with grunge.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like it just blows their mind.
And Ozzy is not, like, no one's going to argue that he's like a really good singer by any means, but he's, now I'm not comparing him to David Lee Roth because Ozzy, you know, I think is on a higher, much higher level.
I know where you're going with you that, know, though.
Yes.
But like David Lee Roth was the perfect guy for Van Halen. Black Sabbath wouldn't have been Black Sabbath without Ozzy.
Yep.
And neither of them can sing.
And I love Tony Iommi. Like his guitar playing. And also
Geezer Butler.
Yeah, with bass. But just, and I mean, it's weird to see like how many, we need to look this up. How many amazing guitar players are left-handed?
Mm.
I know two.
Jimmy Page left-handed?
Nope.
I'll be damned.
Jimi Hendrix is. Yep.
I wonder if there's some kind of left brain.
Well, think
brain
about
thing.
Left-handed shooters.
Chris Mullin never missed a shot
Chris
in his entire
Mullen.
Life.
Dude, it's the greatest looking shot in the world.
I know.
Lefties.
Chris Mullin has never missed a shot in his entire life.
He shot 100% from three.
He did in his career. And didn't ever hit rim.
So
unless he wanted to.
When you come back to, so I just named some songs from these first five albums.
I have a list of left-handed players, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay.
Clapton.
Jimi Hendrix. Clapton, maybe. He's not on this list.
Okay, maybe he's not. I just made that up.
Paul McCartney, left-handed.
Okay.
I knew that.
Kurt Cobain.
Yep.
The rest of the people on the list, I do not recognize, so I don't think I'll bother saying their names, but not many.
I'll be damned.
Okay.
Okay. What do you got, Morgy?
So that first album, Black Sabbath, you have the song Black Sabbath, The Wizard.
Hey, you want me to play some of these as we're going?
Well, we'll
get a little snippet, or do you want me to just, are we just going to play our top four?
I think we'll do the top four.
Okay.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would take.
Yeah, forever.
NIB.
Yeah.
Evil Woman and Behind the Wall of Sleep. So, but a lot of these songs I've spent the last 6 months listening to. I never had any idea. And it just blew my mind that I did not know this 20 years ago.
Well, 30 years ago. Think if you were in high school and you were listening to Sabbath before you played a basketball game.
Oh my God. I would dunk.
I know.
Even though I can't dunk in high school.
But you would have been able to.
The vertical goes an extra 3 inches.
You said the song NIB.
Yes.
Do we know what that stands for?
I do not.
I've seen different things on just kind of researching today. They were making fun of one of the band members' beards.
That's Bill Ward.
And they called it a nib?
Yeah, that's 100% because they made fun of Bill Ward, the drummer.
Yeah, and people have speculated that it stands for...
That's 100, yes.
Some bull crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you go to the second album in the same year. So they were 6 months apart.
And this
isn't that crazy?
It's crazy, but Zeppelin kind of did that too.
I know. It's like they had all these songs and they're like, we're going to do this album. And then 6 months from now, we're going to do another album.
Why do you think it's so different now? Do you think that if we're thinking culturally that it's a lot harder to tour on these huge tours back then? And so you come out with an album and you just kind of tour locally and then you have a lot of other downtime. You're not on your phone, on the computer, so you're just making more music, less distractions.
I don't know. I just think that some of the I don't want to make it sound like the music was more simple then, but it's just three instruments and a singer. And now I think everything gets so
well. We'll talk about this in the next episode. But the Zeppelin, like they actually recorded new songs for new albums when they were on tour.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just now the like getting it out in the public, and what you got now, you have a U.S. tour, North American tour, then you have a Europe tour. Trying to make as much money as you can.
Yeah, and then
they, you know.
Hey, would this be a good time to maybe play something that's not in our top four?
Yeah. I want you to play, well, if you look now to the next album, Paranoid, we know same year, War Pigs, Paranoid, Iron Man.
Can you believe all three of those were on the same album?
You want me to play Iron Man? I feel like, isn't that the most common song people know?
I want you to play Electric Funeral.
Okay.
Because another, there's Rat Salad. That's pretty.
And Fairies Wear Boots.
And we're, yeah. So I don't want to give anything away, but Electric Funeral, just the first 20 seconds.
Okay. What album am I looking at?
Paranoid.
I don't know if I've heard this song.
The first part, the first 10 seconds. That is straight Sabbath.
It's like some sort of psychedelic acid rock.
Like if that doesn't...
But I mean, you can hear just the simplicity that we were talking about before in a song like this, where it's not like this is a bad or untalented song, but you could also imagine some high schoolers putting this song together,
yeah,
and having it sound like this.
But in, like, every band took something from them.
And Ozzy's voice is just, like I said, he's not a good singer at all. Not he's a bad singer, but his voice is just,
it's just
perfect.
One of a kind.
It's just perfect for that.
Yeah.
He's just so menacing.
Yeah.
So,
we want anything else from that album?
Well, play.
You want Rat Salad?
Sure.
I don't know if I'm as familiar with this one. Oh, ooh, okay.
Like, it's all... And And they do a lot where there's no singing for a while.
Yeah.
Oh. So imagine these two albums coming out in the same year. So that's the year my dad graduated high school.
So Black Sabbath and Paranoid coming out the same year?
Yeah.
Did Master of Reality come out the same year too?
71.
Okay. So you want anything from Black Sabbath? Like...
Well, did you? Why don't you play...
Wizard, Black
play
Sabbath.
Play the Wizard.
Okay.
Just so we don't give away our top four.
Yeah.
So I want to know who's doing the harmonica. Is it Ozzy?
That's a good question.
Good question.
Let me see if I can suss that out. Harmonica is Ozzy.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. Wow. I love me a good harmonica.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this song is very Zeppelin-y.
But yeah, see, they were before Zeppelin. Well, not really.
Almost coincided.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. See, that part is Zeppelin-y. But
yeah.
When you get to the guitar, it's just so distinct.
It's very like dark.
Sabbath is just distinct in how Tony plays.
Yeah. Well, should we get into our top four?
Jeez.
Are we already there?
Well, so the Master of Reality came out in 71, and that had Sweet Leaf, Children of the Grave, Lord of This World. And then 72, Black Sabbath Volume 4. So Changes, Supernaut, Snowblind, St. Vitus Dance.
Is that? I was curious how you pronounce that.
I might have pronounced it wrong. And then 73, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath.
And I love that song, and I don't know any other songs on that album. So, like, but we're talking, you know, that's five albums.
Here, I'll play one from Master of Reality that I know is safe to play. Yes. I love this song.
Children of the Grave?
Yeah, I originally was introduced to it by Rob Zombie, but I like the original.
Rob Zombie might be a little underrated.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Dracula.
Oh, isn't this so good?
Guys, this might be in my top four. What am I doing?
You're going to switch?
I don't know. I withhold the right to.
Oh.
All right. So, any other things we want to play before we get into our top four?
Well, I think we have to do, before our top four, just a quick break in Beer
of
the Week.
Oh, sure. No, yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, a little breaky break.
Thank you for keeping us on track, Mr. Morgenthaler.
Jeez, Mr. Morgenthaler.
Beer of the Week and then top four.
All right, crew. We'll take a little quick break. We'll get the beer ready for Beer of the Week.
And anything else about Sabbath? Like, listeners, text us, email. Oh, yeah. If you love a song that maybe we never talked about, because there's a lot.
Too many.
Yeah.
Okay. See you after the break. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. After a little break to get our Sea Pine Brewing beer ready to go, we are back and ready to share it with you. Jason, tell us about our beer, but actually I almost forgot something. I just wanted to say that this beer is brought to you by Lake Campbell Lodging and the Lake House, which is a business and property on Lake Campbell. That's been in the family for 56 years. Shout out to all our hardworking moms, wives, and the small businesses community that is in Anacortes. Jason.
So this is a Mosaic Pale Ale by Sea Pine Brewing Company in Seattle. 5.4% ABV. Just a little bit about it. Untappd gives it a 3.9 out of 5 with about 5,000 reviews. And they say that our expertly balanced pale ale with a light malt body, soft bitterness, and light floral hop character. And just a little bit about Sea Pine. It was founded in Seattle in 2011 with a vision to craft exceptional beers that reflect the vibrant and diverse community of the Pacific Northwest. This vision drove the founders to establish a brewery that not only met the high standards of beer enthusiasts, but also pushed the boundaries of what was possible in the brewing industry. Starting from humble beginnings in a small garage, Sea Pine Brewing embraced a commitment to quality and innovation that quickly established them as a cornerstone of the local craft beer scene. I could not find an SRM for them.
Remind us what SRM is.
A standard reference method, a scale that measures the color of the beer.
That's right.
So I'm thinking it's going to be a little lower because it's a pale ale.
And I'm looking, just for anybody that is interested, I'm looking at where the Sea Pine Brewing Company is located.
Oh, nice.
And it is south of the stadiums there, so T-Mobile and Lumen, just a little bit north of the Spokane Street Viaduct,
okay,
West Seattle Bridge, that area. So if you're leaving a ball game heading south, it's in that neck of the woods.
Oops. When I opened it, it's a little splashed on my mic.
Ooh.
That's never happened in four seasons.
It's a rookie move.
You know, I was also kind of curious because I feel like I see a lot of beers these days that, you know, are called Mosaic IPA. And I was wondering why that is. So I looked up and they said that Mosaic is a complex flavored hop. And so they'll often use Mosaic in a IPA that's going to only feature one hop because it can kind of stand on its own because of its complexity of flavor. Okay. So if you see it, it's often the only hop in the beer.
Okay.
Because it says Mosaic hops are featured in this crisp classic ale on the can.
What do you think of this?
I like it.
I agree.
I imagine, which I never thought of, that some hops are going to give you a lot of citrus flavor. Some are going to give you pine flavor, that sort of resin flavor that West Coast IPAs are known for. And so if you can just use one hop to accomplish what you want, that, you know, might be the Mosaic. But a lot of IPAs, I guess, are trying to create a balanced flavor sort of taste. And so they'd use multiple ones to accomplish that. Didn't ever think about that.
But this is a nice summer beer.
It is. It's light. It's crisp. It's clean. It's simple. A lot like Sabbath.
And, you know, I kind of...
Except for the light part.
I'm a bit of a sucker for just that little bit of a roasted maltiness in my IPAs, and this has that. Do you taste that?
But this is a pale ale.
I know.
Yeah, I do.
I kind of like this.
I was thinking, you know, because you're going to ask me...
Yes, what would you pair this with?
And I thought about it all day.
Geez,
even though I haven't taken a drink from it yet, but I just did. I would say this would go well in the summer with a nice, freshly caught silver.
Ooh.
Or, do you know the name of the salmon? That's the layman term is silver. Do you know what the...
Coho?
Yeah. Good job, Ruck.
I'll be damned.
They're a little fattier.
Of, we're going to do a little, we're going to do a little fishing update next episode, but... Uncle Andy and my dad last night, because I couldn't go because of the draft, caught a monster silver.
Ooh.
12 pounds.
Jeez.
Really?
Yeah. That's a big silver over here.
So I think this would go well with a nice smash burger.
You know, as I was thinking about, I agree, smash burger. As I was tasting it, I was like picturing just having like charcoal flavor coming off of whatever it was I was eating. So if you had a nice like charred steak like we had at your cabin. I could see that with it. But I actually was thinking a little lower grade, like maybe, oh, I guess we had this at your cabin too. I like some brats.
Yeah.
You know, with some.
We had those first night.
Yeah, beer brats with some onions on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little sour. It'd be a nice crowd.
Barbecue beer.
Yeah, that's exactly nice, where I was going.
Yes.
Barbecue beer.
Nice summer barbecue beer.
Yeah, yeah. It's good beer.
Okay. Who would like to start us off with their top four? I can. I think that my contributions to the top four will be weakest, and so I'm going to try my best to not take any of your songs. So if you...
Well, you pick whatever songs you want.
No, I know. The songs I like are the songs I like, and I'm going to say them, but I don't want to... Like, for example, I see what someone's number one is. That's like my number three. I don't want to have it up here as my number three. Like, I'm... You know what I mean?
Maybe we just go through it and see where the podcast takes us.
So I have a question. This is maybe sacrilege, but what could, I mean, might as well when it's Black Sabbath. Is there a thought to starting actually with our number one first then?
Ooh.
You want to do that?
I'm down.
Let's do it.
I want to.
Wow.
This song
okay
is in my top 10. So speaking of real quick.
Wait a second. Your top 10
all time.
All songs.
We need to come up with a top 10.
Just songs.
Yeah.
Maybe just an episode where that's all we do.
That's all we do. We talk about just a little intro,
yeah,
a beer, and then top 10 songs that move you or like you will always play.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, that's going to take some work for me.
It is. So my number one song is Snowblind.
I am not familiar with that song.
Well, you are going to be here in about 10 seconds.
I'll play it whenever you want me to.
You can play it right now. Okay. So it is off of Sabbath Volume 4.
So is that the last album that they made together?
No.
Okay.
I just only did those albums. Gotcha. I think they made like 8 and then Ozzy left.
Got it. And what is it about this song?
Just the riff right here?
Yeah.
And then Ozzy starts singing. He's snowblind.
Oh, snow. Got it. Icicles in his brain.
But wait here just for a sec. Just those riffs.
I like it.
And
I like it too.
That's the first time you've heard that song.
First time I've heard that
ever.
Song. Yeah, I like it. What I really noticed, I agree the riffs in there are tough. They're good. He really changes up his up and down tempo between different parts of it. Iommi does.
Yeah.
It's kind of gives it its own kind of flavor that way.
And whatever you, when you said, like, the name of the song and all of that that comes with it, I never thought about that.
Really?
No.
You didn't until this moment
until
either?
Right now when you were looking at me and I'm like, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
snowblind.
Like, yeah. And then like the lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild.
Yep. That's my number one.
Nice work. So my number one is Changes. Not your typical Sabbath song. It's kind of slower, reflective, emotional.
Very emotional.
And didn't he play this with his daughter?
Yeah, and I think it might have had a release as a single with his daughter.
Well, the interesting thing, since I don't know if it was since the tribute or since he passed away, but it feels like a lot of bands and performers have been performing this song,
yeah,
in particular as a tribute.
Yeah, and I felt like a few years ago it was a little more obscure, but you know, one of my pastimes is to late at night play the saddest songs I can play because I like to be sad. And
do you cry?
No, I just brood.
I might cry.
This song makes me want to.
I might cry in the next hour.
Do you know in particular what the changes were that he's referring to?
No, but I think that's the beauty of art is whoever's listening to it can interpret these changes any way they want to and whatever it means for them.
He's going through changes. He's not going to be blacked out for 5 years.
Well, I mean, that's the obvious thing I think about, right?
Maybe, yeah.
And Sharon saved him.
Yeah. I mean, there might be a whole generation of people that know Ozzy because of the shows that he did on, was it MTV? What?
So, Osbournes.
Yeah, the Osbournes.
No, it was one of the funniest and greatest shows of all time.
Might have been the first reality show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was so funny.
People
did
who.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Sharon!
It was just like, what in the hell is going on with these people?
He loves burritos.
Oh.
Sharon!
And then something.
And then Jack and the transformation of their kids.
I know.
Well, and so I didn't realize this, but my dad said today, he was like, you know, he really like changed a lot, and it was cool to see when him and Jack were like going around in an RV together.
Yeah, that was another show.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's like a reality TV star.
Yes,
that's wild.
Does your dad like back in the day? Did he like Sabbath?
Yeah,
because he graduated with my dad.
The funny thing is, he was telling me about it, and he said that the time he went to Sabbath in Seattle, and it was like,
why didn't you bring that up?
It was like 1970 or something like that. And he said he didn't really want to go. He wasn't really that into Sabbath. But his girlfriend was going to go. And so he went with her. And his girlfriend's dad drove them down to the concert.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's... Did he? What did he say about the concert?
He said he doesn't remember too much about it.
Good answer.
Yeah.
What's your number one, Rock?
I've been laboring over this.
Labor away.
I think I could, you know, I hadn't listened to Changes until you showed it to me in the last probably two months.
Mm-hmm.
And that was vying for my spot up there. Obviously, Snowblind was not something I'd listened to, so that was not in the realm of possibilities.
I'm going to blow your mind with my number two, too.
I want to go with the thing I've listened to most from Sabbath, but at this point, if I had to choose a Sabbath song to listen to, I do actually think I would choose Changes. Like, I do think at this point it feels like my number one.
So Changes, but number one.
It moves me the most. So I don't know that I could have a better thing to describe a song with than that. So I would say, yeah, probably Changes at this point is number one for me.
So according to Wikipedia, Changes was inspired mainly by drummer Bill Ward's breakup with his first wife.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, the crazy part is, are there even any drums in that?
No, there's no drums or guitar.
Yeah.
And Tony Iommi apparently is playing keyboard on that.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Man,
I'm close.
You're getting ready, aren't you?
I'm close to tearing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's big.
Okay, so we're going to go backwards.
Okay.
So number two.
This is different.
Yeah, I know.
I kind of like it.
I like it. Switch it up, Tara. Hope you're having fun driving home.
Well, I like it because the thing that I always worried about when we would do these before is if my number three is someone's number one, then like I'm kind of ruining it.
Yeah. So my number two, and I believe Ruck has never heard.
Can you tell me the album? I'm having a hard time finding it.
It is the same album as the song.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
So
when I was researching today, when I was researching today, I saw like the original video. I just did air quotes because videos weren't videos then.
Yes.
But it's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen.
I know. And I haven't, I now I'm going to go watch videos of Black Sabbath tonight before I go to bed.
Just Ozzy doing weird crap in the woods.
So do you, Ruck, ever go to bed listening to music?
I do not really do that anymore. I used to all the time. Now I just put like a podcast on instead. But I need something to listen to. Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Why do you ask me that?
Well, just because I've been lately, like, I'll go to bed and I'll put on headphones.
Yeah.
And listen to music.
Nice.
I play it in my head.
All right. Are we ready? This is Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. It's going to blow your mind, Ruck.
You know, I think I did hear this before because I think you played it on the way to Yachtly Crew, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, we did. Remember, we talked to Kelly.
Yes.
The wives were super happy with us playing Sabbath on the way to that.
Because Ozzy just died.
We went about 40 minutes in the van, and then we're like, hey, could we stop listening to Yacht Crew and put some Ozzy on?
Yeah. But see how he changes it a little bit?
Yes.
Like,
time change.
And then all of a sudden, right now, it just goes back.
Oh, okay.
A lot of air guitar right now in the Yellow Dog studio.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm close.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. You know, so far, other than changes, your stuff's very riff heavy, and it's really making me appreciate Tony Iommi's guitar playing.
Yeah.
So my number two, I'm not going to say the name yet, but it's similar to our number three, because Mr. Morgenthaler and I have the same number three.
Yes.
And it's a very common Sabbath thing where there will be like a bass line or a riff. And then all of a sudden, Ozzy just shouts some nonsense word.
But listen to this. Is this bass?
Yeah.
So funky.
Geezer. I mean, how about a name being Geezer?
So this is NIB.
Oh, Swap is like, I think he just won the state title. He's got his Hawk's Nest shirt 2024. Thank you, Ross, for those.
I think this is a vastly underrated song.
And I grew up listening. I knew this song. I had no idea the name of it.
But there's 10 Sabbath songs where they start like that, where he just comes in and yells something. And it doesn't even matter what he yells.
I love it. You know, I could easily put that my number two, but I won't do that.
You're fluid. Your top four is fluid.
Like, yes. But honestly, I played this song earlier because I do really like it, and so why shouldn't it be number two for me? I just really like the drums in it. I think that they're pretty unique. And just this riff here in the beginning is good too.
Is this because of an hour ago?
No, I've always liked the song.
Okay, yeah.
It's Children of the Grave, which now we've listened to a second time. Look at those! Listen to those drums in the background. Yeah. Just feels like he's playing everything he can. Very, I think, syncopated.
I wanted to be a drummer.
Dude, you would have been awesome.
Because my Uncle Steve was a drummer. That's how I fell in love with Rush.
Oh, God.
Jason, you've got drummer energy. Great song.
So I mean, the long intro with the drum and the guitar, and it takes the perfect voice to come in there.
No one else can do that.
No, it's perfect.
I mean, yeah. David Lee Roth, who's amazing in his whatever, but he'd be like, oh, hee-haw,
yeah.
No, it's just Ozzy.
You know, his voice has such a, it's so high on the register that it's a real great counterbalance to the low darkness of everything else.
100%. Okay, we're going to three
for me? Yes. Yep.
Oh.
And my number three, and
we're the same.
We're the same number together. Three.
So we're doing Sweet Leaf.
Very similar to me to NIB, except it starts with a cough.
Oh, but just when I first heard this song...
He's got a little yell in here.
I mean, just the darkness of Geezer and Tony, like what they do together. I want to know what he means by a sweet leaf.
We'll leave that to the imagination.
Maybe a woman?
Hmm. Well, now I'm not sure. Such a deep, raw sound. I just love that guitar. Okay, my number three. I'll just go with a classic. It's got to be played at some point. Probably the one song that lot of people know. Paranoid. You know, the bass drum in this is like something that I feel like separates this song from a lot of the other Black Sabbath songs, in that it's a really like unrelenting song. The pace of it is just like go, and it doesn't stop. There's no slowing down, no change in tempo or time.
Yeah, this is different. Like, this is more, it's just fast paced and go. I mean, this is the first song that I heard. Other than War Pigs and Iron Man. That's the three songs that...
Well, and it's got a sweet or awesome, like, traditional solo, which I'll skip forward to right here.
I can't even imagine playing left-handed.
Oh my gosh, right? They must have absolutely melted people's faces back then with this.
Well, I would love to like hear from someone that, I mean, I just think that we were born 10 years too late, Swap.
Just imagine being in 1970.
Being like 15 years old.
In some small venue somewhere in the UK.
And they're playing.
And nobody's ever heard anything like this.
And then you go to Zeppelin the next night.
Yeah.
So I just had a crazy thought. You know, we as a human species are inventing things all the time. Are we inventing music anymore? It's crazy to think that at one point, things like this, it was something someone had never heard anything like before.
Music is over.
We are a post-music era.
I'm never, ever going to hear a band that's new that blows my mind like Zeppelin, Sabbath, grunge.
I agree.
We're never going to hear anything.
Is there anything that has come out recently that at best you can listen to it, but is there anything that has ever inspired passion? Like, I need to go buy that.
No, and I'm not a big country fan, but country has taken over.
Yeah.
Who just came? What's his name? Was huge.
Zach Bryan?
No.
Morgan Wallen?
Yeah. Like, where he brings someone in, you know, Randy Johnson came in to Seattle. Like, he has someone.
The Big Unit?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He did two shows here. 60,000. And so he was in Detroit. Guess who walked him out?
In Detroit?
Yeah.
Kiss?
No.
Like a sports player?
Nope. But just think about
Kid Rock?
Kid Rock.
Jesus. Oh, jeez.
And so they show on the big screen. You remember how Kiss would come down? Remember when we went to Kiss?
Yeah.
And they showed at the end, and then they're coming. He walks out from underneath, you know, the stadium with someone every time. It was Randy Johnson. I mean, I think in L.A. it might have been Shaq.
Wow.
And Kid Rock walks him out of Detroit. Like, he is he made, I think, $20 million this year.
Wow.
Like, everyone loves country. Like, I'm sorry. Andy's a country guy now. He took my truck. I get back in it, and it's on country.
Hey, I remember being in college, and I overheard a kid in the cafeteria say, if you had a choice between country and Alice in Chains, how could you choose country?
Yeah! Ugh.
That's the Holy Grail right there.
I know. I mean, just think about it. I was sitting there somewhere. I think it was in Flagstaff, sitting at the bar, talking to the bartender about, he gave me a flight of beers, and I go, so these are your three IPAs?
Wow.
And two of them are like hazies and like...
Is there anything now better than this?
No. See, look, listen to how dark this is.
The thing is that you're hitting on is music often today. I won't broad brush it. Music often is just produced to be a hit, not because it meant something to that person.
Yep. Okay, I'm ready for my number four. This is awesome.
Can you... Okay.
I think we're on to something here, though, doing top three songs from bands.
It's from Paranoid album, 1970.
I agree. Sorry, I'm trying to find this.
Ruck's doing a lot of work right here. Producing, music searching, thank talking. You.
What album did you say?
Paranoid.
Okay.
This is my number four. It's called Fairies Wear Boots.
Is this it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. On here it says something like Jack Stripper slash, is that right?
Yep. Yep.
I don't know if I've heard this.
I don't think you've heard a lot of them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, you need to dive deep.
I've heard their mainstream stuff.
I mean, that's straight Bill Ward drumming right there, Sabbath. You know how he does that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, this song makes me kind of realize something. They could just be like a really awesome jam band.
And not sing?
Yeah.
Or better than freaking Fish.
Oh, you know what, though? Ozzy is Dave totally...
I'm sorry, I'm done with Dave Matthews. I loved him 30 years ago. Now I hate him.
So you said
I agree.
They could jam band without singing. I actually think Ozzy could improvise and sing on top of jam band stuff.
Wait till he starts singing.
Because he doesn't have to say words. He just needs to be like, yeah! Dude, their time changes are crazy.
So, Ruck has learned like 5 new songs today.
Best day of my life. Love. Yeah.
Gotta believe me.
It's a good song. I approve.
So that's you approved every single one of my songs.
Yeah, dude.
That you've never heard.
Yeah, I like them all. Which, you know what? I have an issue with when I hear a song for the first time. I'm normally like, I think it's okay, but I'll have to see. I gotta listen to it a few times. No, those are all bangers. I'm in.
Okay, Swappy.
So my number 4 is War Pigs. Just a classic. I mean, everybody knows it.
I know.
But
like it's ingrained in my body.
I know.
That, you know, it's just hard, like, but this is freaking amazing.
So again, long intro, starts slow, but then this one eventually gets to that same speed almost that Paranoid has.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then it speeds up right here, baby.
Yeah. I can plug one in for you here. So we got some audience members here. Listening in. Black masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Man, those little things he adds in there.
I know.
So cool. You know, this song has so many different parts that are so Sabbath.
So War Pigs was originally titled Walpurgis. And Walpurgis Night takes place on the 30th of April to mark the eve of the feast day of St. Walpurga, an 8th century English missionary.
Is that why it's called Warpig / Luke's Wall?
It is also believed to be the night of a witch's meeting or Sabbath.
Oh.
Oh. Wow.
Dang.
Why don't we have the history of our country like they do?
Because their countries have been around for
but
a long, long time. And ours is what, 275, three? What's it going to, 250?
Well, I was about to say something that was going to get political, but we don't get political here on the View from the Rock podcast.
No, we do not.
No. By the way, we just had a couple guests. My parents just walked in. My dad,
who's
does
rocking.
Not love, like, he doesn't know music. He goes, I love this song.
Nice.
Geezer Butler said, War Pigs is totally against the Vietnam War, about how these rich politicians and rich people start all the wars for their benefit and get all the poor people to die for them.
You know what, though? I actually don't think that that statement even is political at this point. I think the funny thing is that regardless of whether you're on the left or the right, you think that, but you think that they're different people that are doing that.
Geezer Butler went on to say in 2017, war is the real Satanism.
You know what? I mean, think about it. Like, we never had to go through any of that. Imagine, like, our parents signing up and have to go in the draft.
Totally.
Like, you don't have a say.
Ozzy said about this song, we knew nothing about Vietnam. It's just an anti-war song.
Oh, so are we on your number four?
Yeah, this is the last song.
And then I'm going to give some honorable mentions.
Sure. Some of which we've already played. So
yeah, but I'll just I'm only going to name like two.
Okay.
Because we played them all.
I'm playing this song because this is probably the first Sabbath song I've heard in my entire life. And I think this is the most well-known Sabbath song. And it's good.
I used to be afraid of Ozzy when I was 7.
Because of this song?
No.
Yeah.
We'll get to when we get to
Ozzy. Because of the rumors about him and his concerts?
No, there's no rumors.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, so this Iron Man. It's funny to hear this song. It almost seems like they're intentionally going slow with everything they're doing.
Think about like today's kids. They know this song. They know War Pigs.
Yeah.
And they know Paranoid.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
From Sabbath.
Yeah.
I mean, they know more songs from Ozzy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do too.
Yeah. But this is, those are the songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice work.
Hey.
Okay. You know, a few honorable mentions.
Yeah. Hit us with it.
Symptom of the Universe.
Do you want me to play any
of these? I want you to play Symptom of the Universe because Mark, my good buddy from Oregon, who graduated from high school in 87, and he's been, like, he saw Kiss 10 times. He goes, this is my number one.
Okay. Symptom of the Universe off of the Sabotage album. Random question. Looking at the album cover for Sabotage, is Ozzy tall?
I will do some research on that.
Like, am I crazy?
But see, that album right here. Oh.
He's on the right.
Jeez. He looks like
he's got huge heels.
He might be 6 foot and they're 5'10", 5'9".
Dang. Yeah, this is not my favorite, but I understand why someone could like
you,
it.
But you've found some new songs that you love.
Ozzy is 5'10".
Snowblind.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath.
And according to a quick search, Sharon Osbourne is 5'2". Ronnie James Dio is 5'4".
Oh. Tom. Ronnie James Dio being the singer that replaced Ozzy in Black Sabbath.
Yeah, and you know, we never got into any of that.
Oh, that's true. Do we have like
maybe a new episode, different episode? We do that?
We're going down a rabbit hole right now.
We are. Like, we do need to wrap.
Because I don't know any of that.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if it's they were not the same.
I mean, I just think Dio by himself is freaking
Oh, amazing. I could just do like, Dio. Yeah.
Holy Diver.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're Rainbow in the Dark.
We're ending.
Okay. Did you go through the whole list? So Symphony of the Universe.
Everything else we played.
Supernaut, only one on there.
Supernaut is the only one.
Which but we don't I don't need to play it. No. Yeah, exactly. So hey, listeners, we appreciate you coming back for more. Despite all the times we take long breaks, just don't forget that be a friend, tell a friend about the View from the Rock podcast. If you want to find us on our socials, it's the View from the Rock podcast on Instagram, or if you want to message us, it is the View from the Rock @gmail.com. Until we see you next time.